This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from my office here at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks in Branson, Missouri. Folks, I believe with all my heart that we're right here in the end of days, as the Bible calls it. The Bible prophecy, all the things that are happening in the Middle East. But I am so actually dealt with by God concerning the church, concerning the unity we need to be walking in, concerning the Holy Spirit we need to be walking in, concerning moving into the things of God. I'm reading to you this week from a book, They Told Me Their Stories. It's just been written last year, been published last year, 2 years ago now, in the 100th anniversary of the Azusa Street Revival. But there was a prophecy from Brother Seymour at Azusa Street, Brother Charles Parham in Topeka, that in about 100 years there would be a great outpouring greater than Azusa. In fact, the former and latter rain outpouring together. I'm looking for that, folks. I believe the enemy's made attacks on the body of Christ. If you're one of my partners, you'll be getting a letter telling you about a dream I had on December 11. But I know that the book of Ephesians is about us, and we're going to be a glorious church. And I had scheduled a school of eschatology to be March 17 through 20th at Brother Larry Ollison's church in Osage Beach, Missouri. His church is called Walk on the Water Church. Isn't that a great name? And Brother Ollison is a wonderful man, wonderful pastor, and he offered us that church. And we were going to do, probably I was thinking of doing the book of Daniel, but God just dealt with me to do the book of Ephesians and the glorious church. We're going to go into it verse by verse. We're going to look at it prophetically and how it fits in the light of prophecy, Bible prophecy, and the glory of God we will examine from Genesis to Revelation and how it fits with the church. We'd like you to come and be with us. We're going to be teaching each day starting at 10 in the morning for about 3 hours. Take a break. Come back at night. If you want to pay $25 and have a certificate, you certainly may. But we would like to know that you're coming because it is limited. I don't know how many they can seat there, but we're expecting people from across the country to come and study with us in these prophetic times. So call us at 417-336-4877 and we'll register you. You don't have to be registered to get in, but we just like to know you're coming. Now, in light of all that, I am reading you this week from They Told Me Their Stories by the storyteller Tommy Welchel, and he's a man who came in contact with some of the Azusa Street saints in the 60s who were children at Azusa Street. And so I'm going to begin reading the story again today because I want to whet your appetites. We're going to have what they had at Azusa and more. And so he's talking. He talks with each person, each one of those witnesses, those people who were there. And the first we've been reading is about Sister Carney. Actually, she's the second, but that's who we were talking about yesterday. And Sister Carney was 17 years old when she helped Brother Seymour start at Azusa Street. Now, when I ask her, I'm reading from page 37. When I ask her to describe the Shekinah glory fire reported by many, she told her story. Now, every day for 3.5 years, this is Billy Brim talking again, there was a mist, there was a cloud of the manifestation of the glory of God. Every day, the fire was not always there. The fire would come down from heaven, seem to appear down from heaven, and then it would meet a fire that was going up from the top of the building. When this would happen, the fire department would turn out. But, of course, there was no physical fire. And she remembered that happening, and I think this is the first time that it happened. She recalled the fire department coming out because of a call that the building was on fire. When they arrived, they didn't smell any smoke or see any evidence of fire. She didn't run out with the firemen. She stayed inside the building, but she remembered that Seymour Bosworth, you remember he wrote the book Christ the Healer, John G. Lake, Smith, and Signs, they were other people who were there, ran out. Sister Carney did go out at another time to see the flames for herself. Remember, the fire department had been called on several different occasions as passersby would report seeing flames leaping up from the roof of the building. Finally, Sister Carney asked John Lake,
why the fire department kept coming and looking for the fire. He explained that the fire was coming down from heaven into the building, and fire was going up from the building and meeting the fire coming down. Fascinated, Sister Carney went out, walked about a half a block, and saw the awesome sight for herself. To her, this divine connection of fire coming down from heaven and going up to heaven was just further evidence of God's mighty presence in that place. Sister Carney noted that although the Shekinah glory was present all the time within the building, this divine connection wasn't an everyday occurrence. The fire was not an everyday occurrence. Whenever this connection was present, the power of God was even more intense within the meeting. Sister Carney was a wealth of information. As we talked, she would mention some of the other young people she had associated with at Azusa. She was not the only young person running around being used of God to perform miracles. She was kind of a team with C.W. Ward and Ralph Riggs. Now, Ralph Riggs, and with help from C.W. Ward, later founded the Assemblies of God, what has become the Assemblies of God denomination. They were like a youth team, and she would invite them to go with her as new people arrived and see if they could minister to them. These young men were around 13 or 14 years old, partnering with Sister Carney, going through the crowd, wanting to be used by God to perform miracles and help people get healed. These were kids running around having a ball, praying over people and looking for people who needed healing. These two young men would later become the founders of the Assemblies of God Church, the largest Pentecostal movement in the United States and the world. Sister Carney was also very close to John G. Lake, who had received the baptism of the Spirit in Zion, Illinois, and came to Azusa as a young man to see what was happening. He later became a great missionary and was mightily used of God in South Africa. She mentions others who became missionaries to India and mentions quite a few names here. Sister Carney is what I would call, and this is what the storyteller Tom Welchel says, an Azusa legacy. She validates the mighty workings of God and the presence of His glory through the eyes of a young person in her late teens. Not only was she there as an eyewitness observer, she was also a vital participant in this awesome work of God. Her excitement and enthusiasm as she relived these stories with me each month allowed me to experience Azusa through her eyes. Truly, like John the Apostle, she shared with me what she had heard, what she had seen, what she had touched with her hands and seen with her own eyes and experienced in her own heart from the beginning. Now, we come to the next witness, a modern-day Zacchaeus. Meet Brother Anderson. When he first came to Azusa, he was around 15 years old. The Azusa Street warehouse filled quickly in anticipation of seeing and hearing Brother Seymour as he proclaimed the Word of God. The crowds had grown from a handful of faithful followers to hundreds, now gathering several times a day to witness and experience the miracles of Azusa and the anointing of Brother Seymour. That's what I'm saying, folks. We have to have miracles for them to crowd into our churches, into our meeting places, as has been prophesied through Brother Kenneth E. Hagin and others, many others. Folks, it's time for the glory. Now back to reading the book. Among those attending was a 15-year-old named Brother Anderson, who attended the Azusa Street Revival faithfully. He was one of the first to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit at Azusa and to be a part of this mighty work of God. Although he was just a few inches under 6 feet tall when the crowd gathered, Brother Anderson often found it difficult to see what was happening through the building as miracles were being performed through even his teenage friends. The sight of Brother Anderson climbing on top of the benches was not uncommon. Like Zacchaeus of old, who climbed into a sycamore tree to get a better view of Jesus, Anderson wanted a better vantage point to witness the marvels and miracles and moves of God. Imagine if the folks in your church had to stand on the seat because there were miracles happening all around. Brother Tommy says, I met Brother Anderson at Pisgah, where we became great friends. Whenever I would see him, whether at church or at his home, Brother Anderson would see me coming a block away and would come bouncing down the street saying, Well, Brother Tommy, I'm so glad to see you. And I was always glad to see him. Brother Anderson had a medium build and shiny eyes that glowed. His slick back gray balding hair accented his ruddy complexion. You could recognize him 2 miles away because of the bounce to his walk. Perhaps his most memorable characteristic was that he always had a beautiful smile on his face and was always bubbly and happy. In all the years I knew him, never once did I ever see him frown. I had the privilege of going to Brother Anderson's home about once a month on Thursday evenings. I would be at least a block away when he would bounce out to meet me halfway and welcome me to his home. Unlike the ladies, Brother Anderson didn't have homemade cookies. His were store-bought. But he would have cold milk and cookies waiting for me. I still remember the way he would dress. He would have on a plain long-sleeved shirt buttoned all the way up, including the top button and always tucked in. He wore slippers and regular slacks with a belt rather than suspenders. Out of respect, I would sit at his feet on a barren wooden floor as he settled into his vinyl-covered rocking chair. Perhaps settled in is not quite the way to describe this adventure. He didn't really sit in his chair. He would sit on the edge of it. And when he began to tell his stories, he would throw his hands up, bounce in his chair, and excitedly explain different miracles he had seen or prayed for at Azusa. The image of Brother Anderson and his home live in my memory. "Tell me again about your days at Azusa," I would begin. And Brother Anderson would come to the edge of his chair and begin to bounce as he told his stories. Many times he began with his own personal experience. Although he was born again before attending Azusa, there he received the speaking in tongues, the baptism with the Spirit and speaking in tongues, shortly after the revival began. He recalls that when he began to speak in tongues, he would do so in a loud voice, as if someone had turned up his volume. As soon as he blared out tongues, to his amazement and shock, someone interpreted what he was saying. When recalling the entire experience, he would describe it as being in heaven. He longed to see another revival like Azusa. From tongues to healings was a logical progression. I always wanted to know about the miracles the Azusa saints had been a part of. Brother Anderson told me that many who were blind and deaf were healed, and that he was a part of many of those healings. Some were older people, some were middle-aged, some were young, teenagers like him. If he wasn't part of the miracle happening, he was most likely standing on a bench, watching other miracles happen. He told me that when he was about 15 years old and attended Azusa about 10 times, God used him in his first miracle to help someone. A young man, not much older than Brother Anderson, had a club foot. And when he entered the meeting, he tried to hide his disfigurement. Now tomorrow, we're going to come back and pick up right here with this amazing miracle, Brother Anderson's first that God used him in. Don't you wish you had a series of miracles God had used you in? Wouldn't you like to read these stories for yourself? You can order right now by phone, "They Told Me Their Stories" by Brother Tommy Welchel. We're making a special radio offer for $10 that normally sells for $13. But we want to know who's listening to the radio. And I want to tell you, we've been getting a lot of calls. You're out there. "They Told Me Their Stories" is $10. We want you to get the new book by Kenneth E. Hagin, which we're making available also for $10, only by our radio. And this is a book that was put together from a long time ago, but just now on the press for you from Brother Hagin's teachings when I first came in. Call us 1-800-972-3447. And order these two books, or just call and say, "Hey, I'm listening and I want Billy to know it." Shalom until tomorrow.